Rob?
Good afternoon. It's Rob. Hi.
Who's on?
Good. How are you? It's Chris.
And Kenny.
Kenny, how are you guys?
We're pretty good. Ed actually has a networking lunch that kind of came about last minute, so unfortunately he will not be on the call today. But I guess, you know, business, you know, getting done is the priority here.
Good. How are you checking up on your 30, 60, 90-day plan, and then what's your plan? I'm assuming it's already the 90 days has come up. So what's
the plan? Yeah, I would say that we've been, you know, or I've been lax on my own 30, 60, 90-day plan.
Well, we had one as a team. Like, I remember I spent a lot of time building that, and so I don't think you need one and I need one. It's just, as a team, we should be revisiting that one. To be honest, other than initially making it and going through it and having a bunch of different iterations of that, where we came up with a final version, it's not one of those things that we've been adhering closely to. So this conversation we're having is probably the closest rehashing we would have of that, to be honest.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Okay. So do you want to go through that and see how we did? Or, you know, it's your nickel. It's up to you. I mean...
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know what the alternatively what we would be doing, so I'm fine with that.
One of the things that I thought we'd talk about is making a five-year plan.
Okay.
And then working that backwards so that we don't have to continuously make up 30, 60, 90-day plans. I think those can be part of a five-year plan. But if you make the plan and then you've got to have benchmarks for measuring it, if we were Procter & Gamble or any other company out there, you would be held accountable.
Yeah.
That you held, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And your shareholders would be very interested in how you're doing versus your plan. And you'd write
True.
Them a letter. Or telling them how you did. So
to me,
why should we treat our business any differently than we would if we were a public company?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it'd be good for us. I guess we just struggle. Yeah, there's three of us. There's not really a defined leader who's going to be driving or holding us accountable. The closest one would be my dad, but he's out of the office and kind of doing his own thing so much that to me, I don't feel like he's got the capacity where he does that or fulfills that role. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we just developed a team effectiveness program that we're rolling out now, and I just think it would be very good for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, it is very tough, just the team dynamic and the family dynamic, and that, you know, I think my dad wants to be the leader and the driver, but it's tough when he's on those boards and he's out in Orion and he's doing lots of different things, and it's almost like a diffusion of accountability and responsibility that a lot of stuff gets lost in the gaps.
Mm-hmm. So
something like Supernova, where there's lots of deliverables, there's lots of moving parts, and we're working independently, but then, you know, jointly on things together, it makes things like that relatively difficult.
So what's breaking down? Is it Supernova? Is it marketing? Is it planning? Is it everything? Or is it just confined to a few things?
It's a little bit of everything. I think the thing that we excelled, or that we're doing closest to by the book, and it, like in my mind, it's like, you know, I read the book. We went through the course, you know, to the letter. Like what you told us to do is to the letter, and so the closest we are to doing it by the book is our. Essentially the maintenance, the client contact. We have our monthly calls, we have our quarterly reviews, and we have our in-person meetings.
I think where we're lacking is the networking and maybe the accountability side. But not on Eddie's front. Eddie's
I mean, I would say the business organization, like, you know, the weekly meetings. Staying on top of the stuff from like a business organization point of view. Like my dad is out there and he's involved and he's having his networking things. But other than that, like the VP hats, we sort of define those things, but that all funnels into those meetings. It's the organization, you know, it's the communication between the team and the accountability keeping to those VP hats in those meetings. And it just seems like, yeah, we all kind of split off and do our own siloed things, and these things that we're supposed to be reliant on each other for is just kind of, it's tough because it just seems like no one's in charge of the other one, and so there's no accountability, and then time goes by, and then we look back and go, well, things aren't going the way we want to, and, you know, my dad, who's out there networking, says, yeah, we need to be getting more. Supernova's good. We're in touch with people. We should never let that go because that's, you know, that's going to maintain our business and reduce attrition. But we need to be going out there. You guys need to be getting on board with networking like I'm networking. That's sort of where we're at right now.
All right. Well, let me ask you, is his networking or his refocusing on marketing and networking, is it working?
He's extremely excited about it. We don't have, like, new accounts from it, but he is, he's getting more and more involved, and if you're looking at his connections in traffic, they are spiderwebbing, and he's meeting more and more people, and he's having more and more meetings with people who are involved on larger boards, and they're connected to foundations that are 10 million, 20 million, stuff that, like, he knows who they are. He can look them up online and see these things. So tangibly, no, we haven't had an account open from it, but it seems like it's all going in the right direction. So
now, how has that changed since we got together? I mean, would he be up? In terms of activity, would you say he's doubled his activity? Do you think he's a third more?
I would say doubled. And he's saying it's been about a year that he's been involved in the a very small board. It's Oyster Pond Historical Society. He's been involved with that for like 3 or 4 years now. I'm not sure what kind of a different cognitive step he decided to start taking about a year ago. But with Supernova, he was like, yeah, I want to up our marketing. We started putting ads in the newspaper. And he just started getting more involved with, like, the fundraising side, which put him in contact with more and more people.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, that could be like a double or triple in terms of his efforts.
I think he's just been more creative in thinking about how he can network. And, you know, just with the connections that he has now and then branching off and trying to figure out other ways to, you know, build that spider web that Kenny was saying.
All right. So if you guys had a magic wand and could reorganize the team, who would be the leader?
The leader? Is that what you said?
Yes.
I think, personally, I think Kenny would be the leader because I think he's the most organized out of out of all of us. I don't know what Kenny thinks about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like, you know, if you just look at us and this, you know, what our capabilities are and the stages of our lives, I feel like my dad maybe, like, 15 years ago would do it, but just right now his level of engagement for, like, organizational structure and the minutia and, you know, driving stuff is not, I don't know if it's not what it used to be, because I wasn't working with him that long ago. I just feel like he's, you know, he's got a lot of other things going on outside of the office. And so, like, he's got a lot of, like, high-level ideas and things that are, they're all good things, but there's no, you know, there's not the details. And it's tough for me to, like, be able to replicate. You know, he's got, like, he's a rainmaker, you know, like an old-school broker. Like, he can handle any situation. He can talk to anybody. He can just make stuff happen, and he's great at those networking things. And that's, you know, even without Supernova, just a general, like, you just want to go out there and be a successful advisor, and they don't know even, they can't say how they're successful. That would be him. He can go out there and just make things happen. I don't know how to replicate that. I'm more of a, you know, I would love to be the junior partner and learn the ropes and tag along and shadow in all these meetings, and then I understand how it works through experience, and then identify ways we could do it better, inefficiencies, things like that. But it's just we're three people.
Guys, that's really loud.
I know.
Sorry about that. Hang on 1 second.
That's really loud. Sorry.
Sorry, that was, okay, Chris has got to put a trade in, that's what that was. I would say that I'm more of,
yeah, so, I mean, this is not unusual, by the way.
Yeah, sorry, it was just the three of us were at very different stages. You know, my dad's 63, right. He's been doing it a long time, he's not retiring anytime soon. But he's just in a different stage of his career. You know, I came in.
Would he
go
let
ahead.
You read it? Would he look? Would he fight you on that?
We butt heads a lot. As you know, he is always promoting opportunities. Like, oh, why don't you? You know, you should call this person, or you should do that, or you should do this. You know, I think he wants me to replicate him in the same way that he came up through the business, you know, like a right into the frying pan approach. Whereas, that's never been the way I've ever learned anything. And it's the business is complicated, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but it's just that's not how I learn in Excel. So it's like yes and no. Certain times, yes, he's comfortable with me leading and taking charge, but honestly, he likes being in charge. You know, he was branch manager for a long time, he's a type A personality, he, you know, natural leader, but it's just, it doesn't, that role doesn't function well in our group dynamic. You know, we all butt heads. He wants us to do it a certain way. We don't always necessarily agree, and there's, you know, communication style issues with family dynamic, and a lot of times we butt heads. And that was true of the whole Supernova process, you know. There were things where it's like, I want to buy the book, and then, well, sometimes maybe that's not realistic for our practice, or like, you know, I'm sure you've heard thousands of different stories about people implementing Supernova and the varying degrees of doing it exactly by the book versus like, yeah, maybe we can massage it and make it a little different for us. And yeah, there's plenty of headbutting about stuff like that. So, it's hard to say whether or not he'd be like, yes, that's fine to take the lead. And personally, honestly, it's like, it's a little bit of a daunting task because I feel like there's still so much I don't know. that usually I like to be like an expert and completely comfortable leading something before I decide to go ahead and be the leader. But I guess I would have to agree with my uncle that of the three of us, I think I'd be in the best position just because of where we all are individually.
Well, it's the natural position for you to take on because and he should be spending more and more and more time out of the office and meeting with clients and bringing in prospects. He's the rainmaker. I mean, he wants you to become the rainmaker, and I understand that, but that's not your natural skill set. So you're going to, you know, Supernova is all about putting the right person in the right position.
Yeah.
And gradually, you know, gradually cross-train for the other positions, but you're not going to, if you switched around and you became the rainmaker and he became the leader, you know, you'd be very uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah, and not to detract you, but I'm a little like a little advice there is, or I'm looking for some advice rather, is we go through these things and we'll like powwow and get excited about something just like Supernova and we go and try and implement it, but eventually, you know, naturally some things don't get to where they should be. You know, the business isn't exactly where we want it to be, which is why we started Supernova, to try something. And it hasn't, not a ton has changed from a production point of view. And there's, you know, frustration. So this always happens over the years, is things aren't going as good as we want them to be, or you always want them to be better. We agree on things. We work through the different hats or the different roles and responsibilities. But inevitably, it comes back to people get frustrated. My dad gets frustrated, and he looks back and says, you know, you guys need to be more like me, essentially, if I'm, like, cutting through what he's saying. He's like, you need to be out there, and, like, on these boards and networking, and I've got good ideas, and you guys should just listen to me when I say go and do this. And to me, what that sounds like is he just wants us to – he wants three versions of himself on the team. And in my viewpoint, I don't know how – like, we don't have the same personality as him. Like, to what you were saying, like, if we reversed roles, I feel like everyone would be uncomfortable, but I just don't know how to address that as part of the team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So building a new business plan is not going to solve the issue, is it?
not really. I mean, it's good work, you know. Like, I don't think it's a useless exercise, but no, I don't think it. I don't think it fixes what's broken.
All right, so what if you did more of what he wants and he did more of what you want?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with him. It's like I would love to be out of the office more, being on boards and having networking meetings and doing those things. It's just
you're just at a different station in your life.
I just don't know how to. I don't know where to get involved. I'm, you know, just struggling to get off the ground is what it feels like. Yeah, like I said, I learn by example typically, and then I'm ready to fly out of the nest on my own, and I just don't feel like I have that.
What have you engaged with that worked and what didn't work?
What I've engaged in at work?
You know, in the marketing area, what worked and what didn't work of the strategies that we talked about?
Well, honestly, we focused most of our efforts on. Yeah, we segmented. We built. We decided who was clients and who was butlers, and we delivered all the.
I'm not talking about the Supernova. I'm talking about marketing. You know, remember there were seven strategies that we were using. centers of influence, mastermind group, working with net, you know, niches.
Yeah, so we've never had a niche, ever. We're generalists, I would say, which I think is to our detriment. We haven't done anything with mastermind groups. It's mostly been centers of influences. Like we're trying to hone in on who's a center of influence and develop strategies to work on that.
But what you personally have done, have you gone out and met with centers of influence?
I'm going to say no. I've identified them and talked to them, but I haven't, like some of them are clients and some of them are accountants. Like there's one who I know is a center of influence. Like my dad talks to the dad and I have had a few communications with the son. And I was trying to meet with this guy to connect him with a referral. And just the referral is also like a, I just haven't been able to connect them. Like I've been meeting with the person I wanted to refer to that guy, and it's been going up and down, and I haven't found any way to sort of, in my mind, add value to this center of influence, who I think could be really good, and it's almost like I didn't want to blow the opportunity by going to the meeting and having almost nothing to add to it. I've had lunch with him once, where we got to know each other, businesses a little bit, and then the next meeting I wanted to say, well, here's someone I've been meeting with, I've chatted with him about you, and I want to set up a meeting, and I was trying to make that happen. But
okay, it just sounds like a momentum confidence thing to me. That you just, you know, you're part of it is you've got to, you know, it's. I just had my granddaughter down here, and she's learning tennis and. The most important thing I can do for her is to keep taking her out to the courts and have her have a good time while she's doing it. And then she'll want back.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I'm enough of a, like, I evaluate myself well enough to know that, it's like, yeah, when I have a couple of good meetings and things like that where it's like, I felt like I knew what I was talking about. It was a great meeting. I feel great about the business, and I'm ready to go and do other things. And then, you know, we get stymied, and I'm stuck, and, lack of momentum, lack of confidence, and then not much happens.
Maybe, have you gone out on calls with your dad and everything?
We do meetings together occasionally.
But not the networking kind of.
No, he's not involved in like the board or the meetings and lunches that he has with people.
Well, I would suggest. I mean, if you were if I was your office manager, and I was there, I would like I used to cold call with the guys, right? Because they were uncomfortable cold calling, right? So I'd go in there and I'd cold call and show them how to do it. And then they'd do it, and then I'd listen, and then I'd do some more, and then they'd listen. It's the same way I taught my son and daughter how to play soccer. You just gotta demonstrate it, then you gotta do it, and, you know, have them try it, and then you do it and correct them, and then do it some more. And it's like anything, you're not gonna be any good at it unless you do it, and you gotta practice it. It doesn't come naturally to anybody, okay? You got to practice. I'm trying to become a good fly fisherman. The recommendation by my guide was to get out and practice for 15 minutes every day. All right, so here's a good idea for you guys. Another team did this. They made Wednesday Center of Influence Day. Okay? So everybody had a meeting with a center of influence every Wednesday, and then they'd talk about it. So I'm not talking about, you know, what I presented was a strategy for a sophisticated team that's well on their way and is just simply looking to hone their skills and take it to the next level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you guys have not been doing this and you've got one party doing it, then you need to have basically, you know, we got to get on the, we're not going to get on the moguls, we're going to get on the blue slope for a while and get comfortable doing, going, I only ski on the blues now. I don't ski blacks because,
yeah.
Oh, you know, I don't want to hurt myself. But when I was learning, I skied on the blues also because I didn't like falling.
Right.
Right. So everybody, every Wednesday, gets out on the blue slope and they ski. You're not going to learn how to ski unless you get out there. So you got to put on the skis, go up the lift, and come down. After a while, you learn to like it. You fall a few times, but you're going to like it. So you guys, every Wednesday, you got all week to get the appointment. You got the appointment. Go out. Take the folder. Talk the person into doing it. If you don't, you come back and say, you know, why didn't this guy do it? I don't know.
Do what, though? So, like, what are we looking to accomplish
right, so,
here? Or, like, what's the value we're adding for these people? Like, not that you got to spoon-feed it for us, but I just, so I can wrap my head around it.
All right. So if you go back into the lesson that we gave on centers of influence,
uh-huh.
Five-step process. And so, and I wrote it out so that you as a, you know, so that anybody could then follow the five steps. So the first step is meet with the client, meet with the center of influence, and together determine if this is going to be a good match for you long term.
Right.
You. So you're interviewing him like you are going to be interviewing a new partner on the team.
Right.
Right. So he's interviewing you, and you're interviewing him. So the first part of the conversation in meeting people and getting to know them is, why are we alike? And you make a list of what your similarities are. That's called affiliating. You affiliate with the other person. You ask about, where did you go to school? We both live in Long Island. We both do this. We both do that. We belong to the same clubs. We do this. Our kids are the same age. We have a lot in common. All right? So then that sets up the likability part of it.
Uh-huh.
Because theoretically, this person is going to be a partner for the next 20 or 30 years for you.
Right.
Right? Because you're not in this for the long, for the short haul. You're in it for the long haul.
Uh-huh.
So the second part of the conversation is, why are you different and why am I different? Different in terms of our business. Why should someone pick you as a CPA over every other CPA out there? And why are you different? And why should somebody pick you versus every other financial advisor out there?
All right.
And if nothing else, Supernova gives you that differentiation, right?
Right. No, I agree. Service is what we're hanging our hat on with this, what we meet with new individuals.
Right. Okay. So now he goes, yeah, it sounds like you guys have a good team. And you say, good, I thought you'd think so. Come back and meet the team.
Uh-huh.
Not right now, but next week. Okay, so you set up the second appointment is they come in and meet your team. Now, how do you introduce yourself? You introduce yourself based on the five stars. Planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. So each person gets up and describes in 2 minutes what it means to be the vice president of leadership, of planning, of implementation, brand management, and marketing. Why is that important? You want to appear very organized, and you want to appear efficient, and you want to appear different. Okay? The next step is to go meet his team. You don't need to take everybody, but a couple people from your team to go meet his team is very important. And the question is, why now is the chance for you to explain to us why you're different and who is your ideal client? So do you do business with high net worth clients, medium net worth clients, low net worth? Do you have 1,000 accounts? Do you have 50? You know, what does your practice look like? And who should we refer to you?
Uh-huh.
So in your second meeting where he meets you, you want to be sure you articulate who it is that you want. And now the whole time you're talking about, you know, things will come up where you can help each other. All right, the biggest help you can give him is an introduction to a new client.
Right.
Because they're notorious. If you think you guys are you know, maybe not the greatest in marketing, these guys are terrible. They do no marketing, okay?
Yeah.
So you can help them with marketing, all right? So that's the third meeting. The fourth meeting is where you explain to them how you get the referrals for them. Do you remember how you got the referrals?
VIPSA. Yeah, VIPSA. All right.
Not VIPSA, no.
Yeah.
VIPSA is a way, yes, and it works. But the enthusiastically endorsed model.
Oh, right, right, right.
Remember?
Yep. Honestly, it's funny. It slipped my mind because we actually – we use that gathering CPA's info, you know, verbatim. You know, could you enthusiastically endorse your CPA?
Right.
You know, not just recommend them.
Have you come across people that are interested in a new CPA?
Yeah.
See? So it works. All right. And you want to always give three. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Most of them are pretty good reasons, selfish reasons for you. For one, they won't look to somebody else as a source. If you give them three, they're going to be so busy following up on the three that they're not going to have time to go to a fourth or a fifth or ask another friend. So you're going to get one of your people is going to get this client.
Okay.
And that's really important because you want them to be one of these three that you introduce.
Right.
Now, the key in your introduction is that it not be a name and a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
But it be truly an introduction. And the best way is in person. The second best way is on the phone. I just did a three-person introduction. I did it all on the phone, and it went beautifully. I've referred people to financial advisors in the past, and it did not go well.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not from the point of view of what the financial advisors did, but from the point of view of what the prospect did or didn't do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I mean, I totally get that part. You know, there's not an actual – any sort of connection there, you know, if it's an actual introduction, you can bridge the gap there, just an extra layer of comfort. And actually, a lot of times the conversation will happen as opposed to just a name and a phone number. The referral might never actually come to fruition.
And you know what the client did? The guy I referred these three to sent me a gift, a thank you note. We're going to all the trouble of helping him find a new advisor.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So these clients really appreciate your effort. You think, am I being too, you know, controlling here? And no. These people want to delegate everything to somebody else, and if you would do the work for them to get a new CPA, they'll be delighted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you teach them then the enthusiastically endorsed model. Say, this is how we get introductions for you. So you simply ask all your clients, friends, other associates, people who play golf with, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And they say, no, I want a new one. And do the same thing and say, give him three names. We'd like to be at the top of the list.
Right.
But do it as an introduction, not as a phone number, because we'll never hear from them.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, got my buy-in. Yep.
So so this is not complicated work. Okay. It's detailed, but it's not something that, you know, is really hard to do or embarrassing.
No. Yeah, I don't mean to say something, but I don't want to make it sound like I'm giving excuses or anything like that, and if it comes across like that, let me know. I feel like our practice, we've got one practice divided by three advisors, and so a lot of times I feel like maybe if we can identify enough COIs, it's like we don't have enough like value to offer or enough clients to have the numbers to back to be referring lots of people to different people. You know, a lot of times my mental reservation with meeting with these people is like, I don't know what to offer them. You know, because we split 100 or 110 clients by three, and there's not that many people that I talk to.
But
and in particular, my tranche is a little bit difficult, too. But that's another
point. Well, that's a legitimate question. What I discovered, which was kind of interesting, is I would always say, ask your clients, ask 100 people, can they enthusiastically endorse their CPA?
Mm-hmm.
And but the problem is you quickly run through that 100, right?
Correct.
Yep.
But how many people do you run into in your life?
Right, right. Someone who may not be a client, just in general.
We don't care if they're a client, right? I remember prospecting. I was cold calling in a building one time. I did this all the time, and every Tuesday I go out and cold call and make 35 to 40 calls every day. And one time I went into a building and the guy met me and said, oh, I've got an account at Merrill Lynch. I love Merrill Lynch, yeah. I said, awesome. Who you do business with? And he told me, and I said, oh, he's a great guy. You know, you're in great hands. Who else here should have a relationship with Merrill Lynch? And he introduced me around, and I got accounts there. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, was it the other guy's fault that he didn't ask for or get and visit that client and get introductions? Yes, it was his fault.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't own that company.
Mm-hmm.
He owned the client, but he didn't own the introductions, right?
Yeah.
So everyone is a prospect for introductions. Everyone.
Okay.
So the question is, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Why do you ask? Well, I ask everybody that question because I've got a couple of fabulous ones, and if you're in need, I've got a couple of guys that I think you should meet.
And I'd be happy to set up the introduction.
So your mission is not to get business, but to give business.
Right.
And that's the mental shift you've got to do. And so every week that you give an introduction and you actually make it happen, you've had a successful week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everybody can do that, right? That doesn't require any other skills other than a desire to help people.
Mm. Right, and it doesn't have to be your client base. We can
Obviously, we want it to be. We want it to be expand beyond that.
Right. It has to because you don't have enough accounts.
Yeah. So this COI model, it's assumed that the COI is a working professional. Yeah. You know, there's someone. If we're going to be giving business, they have to have a business to.
Right. That's exactly right. They have to be professional.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. So
that's your
assignment.
Because we did have we did have somebody like we've got someone who just they love us, but they're almost like a community organizer. They know everybody in this small town that has a lot of money in it, but like I can't refer anything to her per se.
But you might be able to help her.
I got Lewis on the line that wants to do a trade.
Lewis, who?
I guess, yeah, we could have that and say, you know, how could we help you?
I'll pick them up.
Okay, but sorry.
Sorry, I have to get 2 calls.
Anyway.
I'm saying on Rob.
All right, so you guys got to go. I got to go. Your mission?
No, I'm saying I'm staying here, yeah.
Okay. Center of Influence Wednesdays, all right?
Yeah.
So every Wednesday, everybody's out meeting with the Center of Influence. That's your job. You don't have to be the leader to get everybody to do that.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So you just create that. Wednesday is Center of Influence Day, and then Thursday is the time when you all meet together and discuss your roles and responsibilities. Monday is when you talk about your activity in marketing. So Monday is marketing day in terms of follow-up. Thursday is roles and responsibilities, the 5-star model follow-up. And Wednesday is COI day.
Okay.
All right. And just focus on that. Keep it simple. You know, rather than, you know, there's a lot of different marketing ideas, but just focus in on that one and try and get some progress for the next. For during this month, you have 4 weeks to get me some good stories. You just need to get traffic. You get in traffic, you're going to have success.
All right. I agree with you. I really, this was a good call. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, sometimes it's best to talk frankly and say what the hell's really going on rather than this idealistic thing. You know,
I mean that's the world my brain operates in. It's like I'd like to drop all the fluff and other stuff and just tell you exactly what's going on, how it's going on, where I see it's working, where we're struggling, rather than sugarcoat stuff.
Keep in mind, I've been doing this for almost 45 years, and I coach thousands of FAs, good, bad, middle. Everybody suffers from call reluctance and lack of confidence and everything else. Everybody's got the same issues.
Yeah.
And you just have to practice and practice and practice and get comfortable being uncomfortable. And then you're going to get good at it. And then you're going to be just like your dad going out there and having fun. But you don't have fun the first time you ever ski down the slope. It's not fun. You're scared to death. And that's the part you got to get through. Just keep doing it until you get the idea. And remember, the other guy doesn't know the script, okay?
Yep.
The prospect doesn't know the script. He's uncomfortable. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. So make it simple. Talk to him like they're in the sixth grade.
Okay.
All right?
If you've got another 2 minutes, I just wanted to brief you on a meeting we talked to you about. It's completely shifting gears now. So we had like a $12 million opportunity, and they basically told us up front, we're looking at cost is paramount, 50 bips, all in. And it seemed like the guy who was the chairman of the finance committee was an FA, and he seemed to have our backs. So my dad got some guidance from him. We were competing against that smart beta strategy and then some other traditional type of strategy. The other traditional strategy, we don't know what it was, but it was basically the incumbent who was on the chopping block because they, you know, probably read some articles about costs and they were paying too much, probably performance related, whatever. My dad and I went to the meeting and we went through it, and that was just about 2 weeks ago. My dad heard back 2 days ago, we didn't get it, and he said that he said this wasn't my take, he said, but the board's take was basically that you guys didn't seem institutional enough, more that you served like mom and pops and families and not institutions, endowments, things like that. My dad thinks it's the way we communicate our service model, actually, which might be true. Like, Supernova is very much catered to individuals. If you change a bit of the language, which we didn't do, it could be catered to boards and things like that. And so maybe we can, you know, fell short there. But, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, we should be having way more of those, and we can learn from them, just like this one. And you're not going to get all of them, and you have your exit interviews, and you learn from it. In terms of, like, feedback, that's not horribly negative. To me, that means that, you know, if endowments and these these endowments that are going to have boards, if we're in traffic with a lot of them, we need to make that more of a niche of ours where we're identifying them and catering more of our marketing to them.
Yeah, I always said, if you're going to be in the 401k business, be in the 401k business.
Yeah.
If you're going to be in the endowment business or the institutional business, be in the institutional business. It's hard to do a one-off.
Yeah, right now we are absolutely generalists.
You're a private client, right? You're a high-net-worth private client group. And you probably should stay with that in terms of what you do. What's interesting, sometimes if you hire someone that does that for a living, they'll do an awful lot better job. You'll get 50% of something rather than 100% of nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we
might just be at a pivotal point because there's all my dad's networking activity. Like, he's in the middle in traffic of a lot of money right now, and it all seems to be in that stuff. You know, there are these different donor funds and endowments and things like that, that while we don't have a lot of experience in that, that the car that's going to hit him in traffic is probably one of those. So
you have to talk a little different language then.
Yeah.
When you go into meetings. I mean, you're talking performance, and you're talking a performance measurement, and you're talking, institutional clients, and evaluating and then changing managers, and how do you do that and how do you measure that?
Yep.
It's a different business than private client.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I mean, honestly, we went in, it was a one-off, and that obviously came through.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Good.
All right.
Good luck. Thank you.
Yeah, we got some homework. Thank you, Rob.
Talk to you next month.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.